It's a pleasure to talk to you.
I know. This is great.
I appreciate you taking some time out.
Good. You got hit with that nor'easter?
We got a little bit of snow today, but nothing too bad, although it was 60 degrees 2 days ago, so what the hell?
Yeah, no kidding. We're getting hit here.
Are you?
Down in Connecticut, yeah. Yeah, power outages, trees down, snow, rain, sleet, flaming hail.
Damn.
Frogs.
Well, you're welcome to come hang out with me if you want.
All right. This is nuts.
So, on a personal front, I saw you posted today that you were hanging out at Gibson, New York.
Hey, you like that, huh? that thing went viral.
I'm pretty jealous of that.
Yeah, there were some gorgeous guitars. They're like, whatever you want. I was like, wow, cool.
So how do I get that invite?
Yeah, God, it's just an endorsement deal.
Can you like take me with you next time?
Absolutely.
I've only got one at home, and it's waiting on some gear for upgrades. But I wouldn't mind another.
There you go. Man, they gave me one of those hollowed out ones like Billy Gibbons does. You know, he hollows the guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the tone is just sweet. It's blue. It's not in that. It's right. It's a little bit to the right of the corner of that photo.
I'll have to look.
Yeah. So, but everything's going great. Couldn't be. It's really, really good.
Good.
We had Johnny's birthday. Yeah, we had Johnny's birthday a couple days ago. But yeah. I'm touring like a madman, so everything's good.
Yeah, I was going to say, last time we talked was when the Badass Generation album came out.
Yeah, I'm still touring that now because I had to produce some bands in between, but it's still doing great, and I'm going to a new club, so it's still a fresh album for me, and then I'm going to start working on a new one.
Nice. And when are we going to see you in Vermont?
They're working on that now. I'm probably going to drive through on my way to Canada, but they didn't have any venues there at that time. So, yeah, I want to.
That's too bad. Well, call me when you get here. I'll bring my camera out and shoot for you.
All right, cool. Yeah, or send me some venues that you think might like blues and that stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, the Higher Ground where you were with Johnny the last couple times you were here is the one probably. There's a couple of smaller places that have popped up around here now.
Cool.
I'm sure I could hook you up if you sent me an email. I'll see
Absolutely.
If I can find your contacts.
Yeah, just paulmelsonguitar@gmail. paulmelsonguitar@gmail.
Can do.
So very cool.
The road's been treating you well?
Really good. Really good. I did a Midwest run, Canadian run, and I went all the way down the East Coast. We hit Delaware, Georgia, Alabama, and then ended up in all the way down Florida, all the way to Key West.
Yeah, I saw the Florida great. Dates. I was a little jealous of that because you were down there while it was warm.
Oh, yeah. Gorgeous. And I did Buddy Guys in Chicago. Wayne Baker Brooks sat in. That was killer. And then a lot of stuff in the Midwest. Now I have some Texas dates coming. I'm playing Antones. More Midwest on the 22nd for a couple weeks. And then after that, back down the East Coast and up to Canada, a couple more up there. So it couldn't be better.
So you're awfully busy.
No, yeah. I produced a bunch of albums, got another Grammy nomination, at the last Grammy, so it's really working great.
Nice.
A lot of things going on.
So I was reading some of your other interviews earlier and trying to get a little better feel for what you've had going on lately. I keep an eye on you now just because I know you and I know you through Johnny.
Yeah.
What else is going on? You said you've got a new album coming out.
I'm working on one now. I did some shows with Derek St. Holmes from Ted Nugent. Great vocalist, great player. So we're doing a project together, and then I'm working with the singer from Cactus. I'm still working with Morten, the singer from Norway. So there's some stuff coming up. But nice. I've been producing. I produced the Tyler Morris record with the Uptown Horns, artist named Tyler Morris. I did James Montgomery's album, with Jimmy Vivino. I produced that and played on that. And the keyboard player from Paul Butterfield, Mark Knopflin, Uptown Horns are on that. And then I did Joe Louis Walker's album, and that got him his first Grammy nomination. And I played on that. So a lot of stuff going on, a lot of producing. Fun. I just worked with the guy from 98 Degrees on an album. Yes, a lot of work there, a lot of playing. But like I said, the touring, Sony's really happy. And, and I just recorded on a band called Otis on Cleopatra Records. I executive produced them and played on their record. They're touring now in London with Blackstone Cherry. So it's good.
I guess
it's
stuff to listen to.
Oh, yeah. So,
when do you sleep?
Not much. Oh, we started a Johnny Winter radio station, which I'm co-hosting.
Well, yeah, now you got to tell me about that.
Yeah, it goes over 140 countries. It's called Johnny Winter Rock and Blues Hour.
On satellite or?
Yeah, it's Phoenix the PhoenixRadio.com. You can download the app.
Awesome.
Just look up Johnny Winter. Yeah, so that's 24/7. That's cool too. So, radio, and then the Sideman movie I'm in just came out. So I've been doing a lot of Q&A with that. You know, Sideman, Long Road to Glory with
I think
myself.
I saw that. There's a whole bunch of folks a whole bunch of famous people that are scattered all over that.
Oh man, Alvin Bishop, Greg Allman, Bonnie Raitt. Kenny Wayne Shepherd, myself, and then, you know, Hubert and Pine Top and Willie Big Eye Smith. Johnny's in it. The whole middle section is Johnny and how he worked with Muddy. I'm so happy that finally came out in film, showing how much he did for Muddy. I mean, he resurrected Muddy's career, and it really puts an exclamation point on that. That's very cool.
Yeah, I remember.
And then I
remember talking to you about that back when we first met.
Yep. So there's a lot of stuff. There's all kinds of Johnny stuff coming out, releases that I'm overseeing, and
I was actually I was going to ask you about that. What do you got on tap on that front?
Well, what just came out, part of the bootleg series, is bootleg number 14. Great material. None of the stuff is repeated. There's, like I said, we're up to number 14. There was a remembrance CD for commemorating his birthday, which was on the 23rd. We had a big send-off on a radio station, satellite station for that. And yeah, and now there's talk of a Johnny craft beer. There's talk of a Johnny fashion line. There's all kinds of stuff. I mean, when he was around, a lot of this stuff was already in the works. You know, there was Johnny hot sauce and barbecue sauce that came out. So he was a big fan of, you know, like having his name branded. So myself working with the estate, you know, we're trying to, you know, keep his name alive in any way, shape, or form, and it's working.
And we're gonna get him in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame one of these days, right?
That's inevitable. That's coming to Edgar as well. Yes, absolutely. That's the one last thing.
You and I are both part of that Facebook group. I think it's a crime.
Yep. Yeah, there's so many people trying to get in, and there's so little amount of space each year, so and then all of a sudden, you know, a very big pop band will get in that has nothing to do with blues or rock, and it's like, how come they got in? They weren't even around. So it's it's a little politics to get money to fund the show, but then it's also, you know, they do cater to artists that maybe people don't know now that are from the past that we've never heard of, you know, but were huge at their time, in their time. So, you know, they're dealing with that. I get that. The only thing I didn't get was the Rolling Stone article about the top 100 guitar players. That just made no sense to me and every other musician on this planet.
I never agree with those. I feel like that's just one of those things that you just chalk up.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
As long as your top 20 is close.
Oh, yeah. They had Joan Baez higher, or Joan Jett higher than Warren Haynes, or, you know, it just, but it's hard, which guitar player, and from what genre. So I get it, but yeah, they should have never even published it. They should have never put it out. It tarnished them, their credibility, big time, forever.
So,
but yeah, things are going great. Could be better.
So do you need anybody out there hunting for bootlegs for the Johnny series? I'm more than happy to give you what I've got.
Yeah, always taking in submissions. I got fans sending us stuff like crazy. We use them on the bootlegs. It's helped enhance it immensely. There's guys in Brazil that have tons of stuff. There's guys in Canada. You know, people are sending me CDs and, thumb drives and the... board tapes and CDs and even tape stuff that we have to transfer and all kinds of wacky stuff. But it's out there. You got to figure, Johnny Winter And was one live album that was, caught and recorded. All the ones he did. We have full sets of him just playing Hendrix for, like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. I've got 20 or 30 recordings in my collection alone.
Yeah, so everything helps. Everything helps, and it just gets his name. It puts him where he should be, right up there neck and neck. Even Hendrix put out, you see that new Hendrix release?
Yeah, I did see something about that.
And there's a song with Johnny playing slide and Hendrix on there, and Johnny just friggin' kills it. It really shows how good he was. It was one night, I guess, when they went to Electric Ladyland and recorded, after a jam session, and I think it's a Jimmy Reed tune, and so it's out and it's on a Jimi Hendrix record. It really shows, the skill that Johnny had versus Jimmy. It really levels the playing field.
Yeah, when you listen to him alongside guys like Jimmy and the other contemporaries at that time, it's amazing to me that he wasn't more well known than he was.
Well, it was management. It was definitely management. That's why when I came in, eventually I had to get rid of that guy and, I helped Johnny. That's what was going on at a time when management should have been latching on to the retroizing their artists, like they did with BB and Clapton, having them rub elbows with U2 and, all these guys. Johnny's camp didn't do anything. And then the drugs kicked in and they still didn't do anything. So, yeah. But that's why we were playing that game of catch up, with Johnny.
Yeah,
and he was getting there, but unfortunately, the smoking got him. But the Grammy and all that—that's what So he's up there.
Yeah,
and he's getting even higher now because all the jam band, the Southern Rock, see the connection between Johnny and all that music.
Yeah,
Johnny and the Allman Brothers, Johnny and Warren Haynes, and all, and his influence. So he's actually rising as we speak, which is very cool. So I'm here to stoke the fires.
I'm glad. I mean, that's awesome. I think that's great. I think it's a great thing that you have going. Speaking of that, I listened to your sit-in with Mule back in September or whatever it was, just last night, and that was smoking.
That was with Warren, Governor Mule, and G Love.
Yeah.
Oh, that was just a guitar bloodbath.
that was awesome. I grabbed that set specifically because I saw you sitting in on it, and just because I had to hear it, and I finally got around to listening to it last night, and it was amazing.
Thanks. I had so much fun, and I love playing with Warren, and when we get up there, it's just the friggin'... It's so much fun, so exciting. Fans really love it. It's great to play with all the Mule guys. I actually, that Danny Lewis, the keyboard player, is on my last album, that Badass album. So.
Yeah.
But, it's always a pleasure, and he always invites me, and it's very cool. But that was some night. I mean, we came out, we played that Good Morning Little Schoolgirl at, like, rocket speed, and versus all the other songs that were being played that night, that thing just was like a friggin' runaway train. It was like, wham!
Yeah, it was, yeah. It was scorching.
Yeah. We started off slow, built it up, and G-Love, holy God, what a great art player. Oh, yeah. Man.
I saw him.
It was very cool.
I saw G-Love here back in August, and
yeah,
tore the house down.
Oh, man, he's funky, he's bluesy, he's got the voice, he's got the playing together, but...
and he works a room,
man.
Too.
Yep, oh yeah. And at that show, there were thousands of people. It was a big festival in Long Island, so that was a lot of fun. You know, I had done the Jamaican thing with him we spoke about.
Yep.
With the Exodus thing. But this was really cool, because this was a ton of people. Big
and
festival.
It was right after the anniversary of Johnny's passing, too, wasn't it? I think Warren was talking about that.
Yes, absolutely. So I came out, and boom. So it was fun.
So, I've only got a couple more actual questions for you, and I'm happy to shoot the shit for longer if you feel like it and you got time.
Yeah.
You're a blues guy at heart, and I ask this of all the blues musicians that I talk to. Do you, and I think I probably know the answer, do you sort of feel like you have something of a responsibility to carry on the flame, and not just of Johnny, but of everybody to educate
absolutely
the
Johnny
that,
yeah no go ahead
to sort of educate people that are going out to shows to play, you know, old Muddy Waters tunes and things like that, so that people go home and are like, hey, you know, that Trouble No More, who did that?
What everybody first thinks about is like, oh yes, you're keeping the genre, the blues alive, but you're keeping the musicians alive. I'm not only saying the ones from the past. I'm saying the current musicians, because you know, if people aren't exposed to this music and don't learn how entertaining it is and how much fun it is to listen to, they don't go to the shows. So it's not only important in one respect, like I said, to keep it going, but it's also important to keep it going. You know, these blues clubs have to open up. They have to cater to musicians. You know, you have to build the fan base for the blues. That's why the Blues Foundation is so important. That's why the blues societies are so important. That's why it's important that there's some kind of blues venue in every town, state, country. You know, because bands have to tour, and if there's a big gap of two or three states where there's nothing, it's devastating to musicians. And you know, if musicians don't see that there's any promise, you know, with spending all those hours playing and practicing and loving that music, and then they learn it, and then there's no place to play. I mean, what's the incentive?
Yeah,
I mean, just music in general is having a hard time. It is not. It's not. I mean, I've been fortunate, and I play with a lot of people, and I built a reputation. I have great fans, but there's up and coming artists as well that are having a lot of trouble.
Yeah,
and they're biting a bullet, and you know, the musicians get taken advantage of.
Yeah,
you know, financially or whatever, but you know. But there's pockets of great blues and rock, and for musicians, you know, Florida, New Orleans, Louisiana, down that way, up the East Coast, near Rhode Island, Massachusetts, New York, of course, the Carolinas, there's great stuff in the Midwest. I mean, the fans there, just they love. And then Europe is insane. But yeah, Johnny, I will always be Johnny's guitar player. That's a badge of honor. There weren't too many people that played with him. You know, he was kind of a one guitar guy deal, but when he did, you know, he that was the guy. You know, myself, Derringer, and Floyd Radford, you know, it's good company. So of course, playing with him so long, that his style, not his style, but his his riffs are in me, you know, that kind of thing. They've been incorporated into my playing. But at the same time, like he used to say, you know, Paul, I know I know you can play a lot of different styles, but I'm glad you play blues with me, because he knew I played, you know, fusion and rock and reggae and country, and, you know, because I'm a session guy.
Yeah.
So and that's what came out in my record was, in my recording was, you know, the different styles. But, again, yes, the first love is the blues. And to carry on that tradition, it's an honor. And it just comes about, even if you're not intentionally carrying on, just by, I always listen back to the master, so their riffs are inside of me. So, yes, that's a way of carrying it on. And I see a lot of artists doing the same thing, whether they grab it from the British, you know, British rock blues, which is the thing now, you know, a little infused rock in there, which is cool, you know. It's morphing into a different sound with the mixture of Southern rock, you know, with Derek and myself and Warren and Bonamassa and, you know, all those, Kenny, Wayne Shepherd, all those guys mixing that stuff together. There's some kind of different kind of sound coming out, and it's a mixture of classic Southern rock, blues, jam, and it's all accepted. And the audience is getting more, their appetite is bigger, and they're accepting of different sounds in an idiom is getting better. So they'll go to a show, and they don't mind hearing blues, then a little rock, then a little jam, then a little this. Whereas before, if you just went to a blues show, I just have to hear blues. That's it. You know, musicians were shunned. So, yeah, absolutely. I like carrying on the tradition of the blues.
I think the jam, you know, scene has been big for that. The folks that go to, like, a Mule show, for example, are definitely some of the most open people musically out there that are getting into the old covers and the blues songs.
Well, that's all Warren's doing.
Right.
I mean, he hits it with Freddie King, then 2 seconds later he's playing a tribute to AC/DC. Then all of a sudden he's got John Scofield come out and they're playing stuff from Billy Cobham's Spectrum album, Tommy Bolin, and then 2 minutes later he's got the Blind Boys of Alabama, and then he's playing some of his stuff. Then he's playing some R&B and soul, and then all of a sudden he's playing Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's educating the listeners. They're eating it up. They want more, and it's allowing musicians to grow and expand on their recordings more. Now it's almost expected that you play a wide range of stuff from song to song, which is great.
Yeah.
You can add keyboards, you can add horns, you can add harp, you can, without worrying, oh, you know, I really want to add something, but if I do, I'll be leaving the fold.
Right. And it must give you some freedom, too. I mean, not that you really need it, but it kind of gives you sort of that same carte blanche.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, if someone to label it, I'll label it. It's mutt rock. It's just a mixture. It's a mutt. It's a mixture of everything, which creates new sounds. So, you know, whether it's intentional or not, it's important. You see all the artists that sit in with other artists now. Now the big thing is sitting in, guesting.
Yep.
You know, and each time you guest with another artist, you pick some of his stuff. He picks your brain. You know, they do the guitar battles and the horn battle and the harp battle, you know, all that kind of stuff. They're all learning.
Yep.
And behind the scenes, they're networking. I mean, the biggest, some huge acquaintances occurred at the Crossroads festivals. A lot of albums came out of that.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny went his roots and stepped back. I mean, we were all taking numbers. And hey, you want to play in this when we're done? Roots was a direct result of us going to the Crossroads Festival. You know, oh, I'd love to play with Johnny. I'd love to do this. Okay, so behind the scenes with all these guesting stuff, they're not just having them guest. They're thinking about, wow, maybe I'll have them on my record. Maybe I'll have them on, you know. So that's part of the process, too. And the fans know that, and whoever they see on the stage, 9 times out of 10, they're going to end up on the next record.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, for me, you know, I'm a live music guy. So the guest spots, especially for my radio show, are the thing I hunt for. The guest spots are it. And those are things I've been turned on to more music than I can even imagine based on guest spots.
Yeah. And that's if people realize how, I mean, everybody's trying to drive fans more to shows, because people are just sitting home and they're watching their Netflix and they're getting their stuff off of the computer, and it's the live experience. They have to realize how important that is and how much fun it is and how exciting it is, and it's a night out. You know, it helps relationships. It helps. It's a form of communication. It breaks the monotony, you know. So it's important that people go out and support this. You know, everybody just thinks it's free now.
Yeah.
And these artists are starving. They're quitting. They're just stopping. They're quitting. And that's not good.
I find go ahead.
No, especially the ones that are, you know, trying to break into the scene.
Yeah,
and I heard an interesting thing the other day from some artists that I worked with that I was producing, and they said, you know, it's really rough out there. And I go, well, you know, they go, you're lucky, you have a booking agent and you're touring, but we're starting out and it's a lot harder. I go, what do you mean? I understand it's hard, but they go, well, you know, we build our resume through opening up for acts. I go, well, yeah, that's how everybody says. And the band, they said, but yeah, but they're all going away. I go, oh my God, you're right. We can't back up BB anymore. We can't open up for Johnny. We can't open up for so-and-so. We can't open up for, we lost so many artists in these past 3 years. 4 years? 3 years.
That's true.
Opening acts are now just opening up for other opening acts.
Yeah. The scene isn't as deep as it used to be.
You know, everybody wants to open for Warren Haynes, and everybody wants for ZZ Top or Buddy Guy, and we're losing them all.
Yeah.
So it's and I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even think of that, how it's affecting the music scene. Sure, there's great bands, but the calling card for a band was who they were having on the resume that they were. Oh, we shared the stage with B.B. King. We shared the stage with, you know, Johnny, or we shared the stage with Warren Haynes. And then that would entice a record label and a booking agent, and then the clubs. Oh, well, they played with so-and-so, because the minute the band has the bragging rights, so does the club, so does the booking agent.
Right.
And then they advertise that. But now we're losing all those. So we better build some new big acts, and those big acts better start supporting music in the clubs, because no agencies or no venues are going to let these artists in.
Yeah, I mean, I see it a lot around here. I don't know if you've picked up through my Facebook page or anything like that, but I've started doing a lot of photography, and I've been going to the small clubs around here. And it's always a bummer to go to a show, you know Nectar's, I'm sure.
Yep.
Going to a Tuesday night show there or whatever, and having it wind up being empty by the end of the night, or having the local opener have all their friends show up, and then have everybody be gone by the end of that set, and by the end of the night there's six people in the room.
Oh, yeah, and you know how that bums out the headliner, doesn't even want to play.
Yeah.
The opener is drawing more because they have the local things, and the headliner's going, what the hell kind of... And then it's like, well, doesn't this club just draw people? I mean, there should be just some human beings here regardless.
Yeah.
They're not coming out.
And
unless, before, it could be the economy, too. I mean, you know, people are saving their money for the big... ticket, you know, okay, we'll go out once a month, and it'll be for so-and-so, or it'll be for me, or Warren, or whatever. But then it's like, okay, not like before, where people would you know, go, oh, we got to support these acts, so I'm going to spend $5 and see this one, and $15 and see this one, and $20 and see this one, and then I'll spend $100 and I'll see this. Nobody's doing that.
Yeah, ticket prices are tough. I mean, I know I passed on Bonamassa last time he was through here because tickets were $100.
No, well, that's just good. Yeah, it's insane. That's the thing. There's low prices and there's high prices. The middle America is just being wiped out in every aspect.
Yeah,
there's no middle. Yep, you gotta. Yeah, that's the problem.
It's tough.
So you gotta pay the dues and play all the other clubs that are trying to. And you know, there's nobody to blame. The clubs are. If you were a club owner, you know, you wouldn't want to lose your business. And if you're a band, you don't want to break up. So there has to be a giant think tank and something done.
I mean,
and what it is, it's support from you guys, it's support from radio, press, you know, that kind of thing. College radio, it's so important. I mean, how many people listen to radio? That's important too. So it's all about advertising and. You know, in the community. So a network has to be established. And everybody's running on their own individually, but I think there has to be some kind of central hub.
If you want to start it, I'm all in, Paul.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You tell me where to go and what to do, man.
Yeah, we need a million more like you.
I don't know where to find all those people, but if you can find them, I'll put a station together.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're doing this the Johnny Winter Rock and Blues show. So a lot of stations are picking up, you know, like syndicating, and they pick it up and they just play music under, like, you know, B.B. King's Bluesville.
Yep.
Yeah. So what the estate does, they offer Johnny's likeness and the use of his name to do like an hourly show, and then they play Muddy and Freddie King and T-Bone and Johnny and Robert Johnson and all the blues and all, you know, and rock. So a lot of people are starting stations under the Johnny name, and that carries a lot of weight in their individual states and countries. And yeah, so if that's something you're interested in, there's no fee for it. That's working. That's working.
In my email to you, I will include that. I will want some information about that, just because I'm curious. I'm a radio guy, so
yep.
I love learning about what's out there.
Well, I have a lot of guys that have like a 3-hour format or a 24-hour format or whatever, and they're like, I'm like, wow, that's a lot of time to film. I'm like, you know, would you want to do a Johnny Winter Hour? Oh, I'd love to. Okay, well. Yeah, we have some artwork. You create a banner, you put all your information on it, and then you either turn it into an app or whatever, and you just say, hi, this is the Johnny Winter Blues Hour with your host so-and-so, and for the next hour, we're going to play music that Johnny loved and some of his stuff and everything blues and rock under the Johnny name, just like, you know.
I'm all for that. I feel like I'm a terrible musician. I have guitars, but I stink at it. I feel like I don't have to be good in order to enjoy it. The radio show is my thing, and I always
How long are you on?
I'm on 3 hours.
See, that's what I'm saying. You dedicate 1 hour to the Johnny Winter. Now, with your radio station, do you have sponsors, or is it just you? Just do a.
We have a few. Work? Yeah.
You have people that sponsor and pay money to do advertising and all that?
Yeah, we have. We're community radio, so it's underwriting, but it's basically sponsors.
Wow! Well, yeah, I just did a contract with a station in Florida. They're 24/7.
Yeah.
This is, and you, if you dedicate an hour, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, you just run under the Johnny name, Johnny Winter. Rock and Blues Hour or Johnny Winter Hour or something, and
you'll have to send me some more information. I'd like to learn a little bit more about it, for sure.
Let's do that. Okay,
I'll see what I might be able to pull together. Maybe I can get another hour on at a different time. That's sort of outside of my core
show. Just dedicated to that. Absolutely. A lot of people do that as well. It's like, you know, I got my thing, they know me for this, because you have to turn it into a Jekyll and Hyde. Now, all of a sudden, it's the Johnny Hour, and you know, you're playing it, yeah. So it has to be just blues and just rock and, you know.
Yeah, I could definitely do that. Blues rock is my wheelhouse.
But you'd be surprised how people start gravitating towards that. And then you could do blues news and blues weather. You know, one station did blues weather today, and they said, today's blues weather, wet.
Wet and cold.
And the blues news. Yeah, and then you know, you just call me up and say, hey, I want to interview. I want some big names to interview. You got any? And I go, okay. And then all of a sudden, you're talking Edgar Winter.
Yeah, you just roll through your Rolodex. Your phone probably has famous people out the wazoo, doesn't it?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. So, yeah,
watch out
that'd
for
be
me
good
next
thing.
Time
yeah,
I hang out with you.
That.
I'm just going to steal your phone.
Look on the on my Facebook page, and you'll see a big silhouette of Johnny and White. You'll see one station that's doing it. Already, you'll see another one, but yeah, you'll get the idea for it. And then, again, the email, paulnelsonguitar@gmail, and then I'll send over, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds great.
You'll have a ball with it. I mean, you're just playing Freddie King, Muddy, Albert Collins, Albert King, and then you mix in some rock, you know, the Stones doing a blues to it, you know, something, as long as it's bluesy with a little bit of rock, it's wide open.
Is there any regularity that it has to be? Is it like a daily, weekly, could I kind of sneak it into my own show, like, monthly?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, that
I
can do.
It's just to keep Johnny's name alive under the legacy of Johnny Winter, so that somebody turns on and goes, Johnny, what? And then somewhere in the show you say, you know, Johnny was a rock blues icon for those who don't know. And then you play Highway 61. Well, here's one, you know. And then maybe mention, hey, there's a Johnny Winter, this album's out. Or, you know, those interested. You just push Johnny a little bit.
Yeah, that is most definitely doable. I will definitely.
It's not old Johnny. It's what Johnny loved and what he represented.
Right. Yeah, that is,
you know,
that is totally doable.
B.B. King Bluesville. They played like one B.B. King song. The rest was all new artists and older. They're still doing it. It's Bluesville. They hardly even mention B.B. King.
I have my regular listeners ask me to do a blues show every once in a while. I'm sure I could find a way to make that happen. So,
and if this were the Johnny Winter Hour, they'd shit their pants.
Well, I will definitely. Yeah. I'll shoot you an email after I get my show together for tomorrow. I'll shoot you an email later tonight, and let's talk about it for sure.
Perfect. All right. Good. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, no problem. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Paul.
Oh, you too. Thanks. This could be actually really cool. Thanks.
Yeah. Let's stay in touch on that for sure.
Okay. Great.
Hey, I'll let you go on that. Let's stay in touch a little bit more regularly.
All right, I'll send you some of the artwork that I have, or if you have great designers, it just has to be, the logo's got to be really pro, and I have some good stuff for you.
Okay, cool.
And then you just run wild with it. You know, put your call letters in, your name of your station, you know, all that.
That's
info.
That's perfect. I'm right in the middle of a rebrand or a redesign of my own logos and stuff right now anyway.
It's good because I need Johnny up in that area, so that would really help.
All right, cool. I can definitely do that.
Thanks, buddy.
Let's put our heads together.
Okay, great.
Hey, good talking to you, Paul.
Thanks. You too. All right.
Let me know when
you're very soon.
Let me know when you're up this way, and we'll get together. I'll buy you a beer.
Okay. Yeah, and I could do an interview on the station. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff we could do. A lot.
Definitely. I'll have you in.
Yep, I can do a live phoner or whatever. Yep.
Yeah,
perfect.
let's definitely do that.
All right, buddy.
Hey, have a good night, Paul. Thanks for chatting.
Thanks. Bye. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye.